Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just coming up to 5:05. You're listening to Women Talk on TRE. With me in the studio today is Tracy Leisure, Cookie Baudet and Debbie Bennett.
Benet,
I know. I feel. How are you doing, ladies?
Good, thank
Very
you.
Well.
Very well.
Good. Lovely to see you. Thanks for coming in. If you're listening out there and you'd like to get involved, you're more than welcome. You can send us an email to studio@tre.radio. You can send a WhatsApp to +34 645 99 67 95, or you can even give us a call on 952 78 4000. So I've got an article here that I sort of made me smile earlier this week. It says, it has long been held that the rich are meaner than the poor, just like in stories such as Charles Dickens's Scrooge. Now researchers say there may be more than a grain of truth to such fictions, with a study suggesting less well-off Tiny Tims are willing to give more to charity. Thought it was this was an interesting topic of discussion in your lives. Have you seen this to be true?
I think so, and I think rich people are rich because they don't spend any money and they have it. And when you're less fortunate, you know that you've been in that position and other people are in that position, so you're more likely to give more to charity than a rich person, because they've never, if it's old money, they've never experienced that level of being poor. That's my own personal view anyway.
I sort of concur. I don't think it's everyone, every rich person. I mean, obviously that would just be wrong. But I think in general you're right that a lot of people have amassed their wealth and they quite like it, they want to part with it. And you're, and also, if you have been in a situation when you have struggled along the way, like you say, you recognise how it is without things and you want to do your bit. And I think somebody, I saw something earlier today about somebody had posted on WhatsApp group or something that they were in a restaurant and here we are in Marbella with all the flash cars and everything, and then a disabled person comes in collecting money and not one of them put any money in their collection tin. Sort of endorses that, really.
I think sometimes in the analogy that you've said, you would think that people classed as new money as opposed to old money, so people who maybe have struggled and and made their own wealth, you'd think that maybe they'd be more generous. But sometimes people I've met over the years, sometimes people with new money feel even more entitled than old money and are even less generous.
And I think they become very selfish as well, because they've amassed a huge amount of wealth very quickly, and it's mine, and I'm going to spend it how I want to, and the spending can be actually quite obscene. I mean, there was obviously the Dubai program that was on the BBC, and they, you know, openly showing the amount of wealth that's there, and it's all new money, and it's Marbella on steroids, you know, and people are flashing their money, which is fine if you want to do that, but don't forget where you came from.
And we see a lot of it here, don't we? With a lot of wealthy people around. But then again, you've got a lot of youngsters with some great role models at the moment, like I'm going to say Marcus, I was going to say Radishford, only based on that that advert, and I can't quite get his real name now. It sort of stuck, thank you. It stuck with me that it's Marcus Radishford. Sorry, Marcus. And all the good work he's doing, and here's someone who's got suddenly lots of money, but he remembers he's got, you know, he's got his mum there, he's very grounded, and he's doing great work. So fair play, more people like him, please.
Yeah, there's definitely examples of people that are bucking the trend.
I always
find it interesting and great to read when you hear celebrities, however, you know, wherever they're from, whatever their background is, when you see them giving back and doing massive amounts of charity work. Or there was a story I read about Shaq O'Neal, the basketball player player at this Christmas, and I think he's done it before, going to children's homes and taking Xboxes and things like that, taking loads of computers and phones and loads of technical gadgets to children's homes and orphanages, and, you know, great photographs, seeing these kids excited to meet him and getting amazing presents and, you know, just lovely. And you know, when you've got someone that's that wealthy, it wouldn't have made a difference to him financially, but he would have got so much from it, as would all the children and the families. And it's just wonderful to see that, isn't it?
And it was like when we did the collective calling, you know, when we first went into lockdown, and we found so many people, especially like in where the area we were collecting from, La Heredia and La Quinta, and it was amazing how many people every week went out of their way to give money and help people less fortunate. Yeah. But whether it was the very wealthy ones or it was just, you know, your normal people that were giving, I don't know, but everyone gave.
We really saw that really community good. Spirit, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Either by cooking and providing meals for the homeless, you know. And also, we didn't realise how many people that were in a really, had, you know, were in dire trouble because they had no income. So,
Made you realise how it can happen to normal people. Yeah, if someone in the family, if someone loses the job and, you know, you can't pay the kids' school fees or whatever, it was
very, very difficult, you know, to see that happen. And it could have been any of us, really.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Moving on to beauty and things. Well, before that, actually, no, this isn't quite beauty. I shouldn't have said that now.
We're expecting beauty. You know that.
We're not live, are we? That didn't happen. Nobody heard. Feminism, we're talking about now. So basically this article is talking about how it's kind of confusing and women don't really know where they are with it all. Are we supposed to wear makeup or go barefaced, smash the glass ceiling or stay at home with the children? It's a modern minefield. The journalist says it's never been more confusing to be a feminist. On one side, women should be able to make their own choices. On the other side, bras, cosmetics make us feel sexier. What do we think? What does it mean to be a feminist in modern times?
It depends on the woman. Again, it should all be down to the individual. If you want to wear makeup to work, great. If you don't want to wear makeup to work, fantastic, and you shouldn't be judged on that. If you want to wear high heels, wear high heels. You know, I'm always in heels, as you know.
Yeah.
I hardly ever wear flat shoes. I'm wellies today.
I'm looking. They're wellies.
So without heels.
Yeah.
But they do make wellies with heels now. But yeah, I mean, that's just not practical, having Wellington boots with a heel. But I will always wear high heels. I don't like flat shoes. But it depends on the woman. If you want to wear makeup, don't feel you need to conform to other people's standards. You don't.
Yeah.
Be yourself. Be who you want to be. Be kind, you know, and that's what it should be about. We shouldn't feel the need to slap ourselves with makeup on our faces or wherever, just so we feel accepted.
However, I completely agree with you, but the social media, magazines, everything you see tells a different story of the sexy woman slapped with makeup, wearing expensive perfume, with expensive handbags, clothing and everything else. And that's not a great sort of role model for young women today, thinking that's the way of the world, you know, that that they need to be looking this way and they've got to be conforming, when indeed they should be. Women should be able to do what they want, when they want, with whom they want.
Yeah.
That sounded so wrong, that last bit, but I thought I'd add it anyway.
But we're used to seeing in magazines, like the photos where, you know, they're showing women going to buy a pint of milk, you know, with no makeup on and Wellington boots and, you know, just looking, you know, whatever, not making a massive amount of effort like they would normally do if they were going to work or whatever. And it's like, you know, branded to be shameful and a bad thing. Oh, you know, she's let herself go, or she doesn't doesn't make much of an effort. These kind of phrases that we see. So I completely get what you're saying, Debbie. You know, in one way, we should be able to do what we like, but we all must have had the situation where, you know, you go to the supermarket, you think, oh, I don't need to put makeup on. I'm only going to the supermarket. And you see everyone. You bump into like 10 people.
I've got to say, it's been made a lot easier here, hasn't it, with the wearing of masks.
Yes.
Masks and a pair of sunglasses. I mean, it's just really saved me a fortune. But we've also seen people, I guess, in the summertime here, in the last couple of years, perhaps less so, but some people over here on holiday when they're... I've seen them wearing those, not the onesies in supermarkets.
Really?
Yeah, I have. You know, the hair in rollers, like the here on holiday, hair in rollers and onesies. So where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
You
know
what I mean? Do you mean a onesie like an adult baby grow?
Yeah.
Yeah,
one of those. Yeah. Could be...
That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Could be like a giraffe or a pig or something like that, but, you know, with hair and rollers.
Supermarket.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But is that, I'm on the same basis, is that okay?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's true, because after us saying, you know, you should be able to do what you like.
Absolutely. Then, and they did.
Yeah.
And then we're saying, is it right? And
yeah.
It just,
oh, I guess,
you know,
if their hair needs to be set and rolled up and done for the few hours, and then...
And they need
know,
to be dressed like a pig.
They want to look fabulous. They want to look fabulous later on.
Yeah.
Why not, if they're not worried to, they're not worried about who's looking at them. So at the end of the day, good on them, you know, because they know who they are.
Yeah, if they feel comfortable enough, who are we to... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, I wouldn't open the door without any makeup on.
Really?
But as I've got older, funny enough, I've just thought, well, I am who I am, and it's the way it is. Plus, I can't put it on so well. As those younger girls look nowadays, well, the way they make themselves up is amazing.
It is, isn't it? It's a whole new world.
I mean, the amount of makeup, all the different shadings on the face,
contouring. Has anyone ever tried to do the contouring?
I did try it, and just laughed at myself.
Seriously? I've done the same, and I've just thought, I look like, you know, a vampire or something. I mean, it just... Or you look so ill because you just don't know which bits to put the dark stuff on, light bits. I mean, it's just wrong.
It's weird. I've done a few kind of makeup tutorials just to kind of see, and I just feel really uncomfortable with loads of makeup on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're used to seeing women on TV or on social media wearing lots of makeup, and it looks normal.
Absolutely.
And you think, you know, it suits them, and you think, well, why can't I do it then? And especially with the really dark eyes, you know, with the eyeshadow.
Like cat's eyes,
And I've done that a few times, and I just think, oh no, people have said to me, you're right, you know, someone hit you in the eye. It looks like a black eye. I mean, and I don't get it. Am I doing it wrong? Or like, it's...
I think it's down to the skill of a makeup artist mostly for all these, like, editorial things. And, you know, I mean, but the young girls who do go on YouTube, they can do quite a lot. You know, their makeup looks really good.
Yeah.
But for us older people, I'm not so sure if we can get it quite right.
Yeah.
I think they just look like completely different versions of themselves. So when they actually strip back all that makeup, they do not look like that person with all the contouring on.
No.
And yes, contouring's always been around. I remember when I was living in London, we had a makeup book, and it was from the 80s.
Yeah.
And in there it showed you how to do contouring. So you put the light bit on your you get light blush and put it on, obviously, in the this part of your... Sorry, you can't see.
Your cheeks.
And then underneath your cheekbones...
Debbie, are we taking notes?
Absolutely.
And then underneath the cheekbones, you would put a darker colour.
Yeah.
So then it draws your cheeks in. And this is a book from the 80s. We still have it at home.
Can you bring it in, please?
And it's brilliant, and it tells you how to do the makeup, and so the way the makeup's applied hasn't really changed. It's just the amount of makeup that girls use.
I guess also maybe the quality of the makeup.
Yeah.
They seem to have... I don't know if you guys have ever watched Love Island. I was talking about it before. So you see the guys or the women, they're hanging around the pool completely without makeup, and then suddenly in the evening they're out, you know, partying around the pool, but then they're spending ages. There's like a table full of makeup, and you see them, it's like they seem to put foundation on, something else else on, something else on, and they still haven't started on the eyes, the lips, anything. It's just the skin. And it seems to go on for half the programme about how many layers of makeup. And when they've done it, wow, they look different. They really do. Thinking, you know, they're either very photogenic or something different has really happened. And I'm sure they're, it's been done by experts because, as you said, you know, very few of us have that skill, and I certainly don't.
I remember a couple of years ago on social media, that I can't remember what it was called, but it was a makeup-free challenge or something, where I did it. Loads of people, everyone was, women were encouraging other women to kind of post a photo, a selfie, without makeup on. Yeah. And everybody kind of approached it differently. Some, I had friends that were like, not in a million years, not going to do that, don't feel comfortable, and that's fine. And then other people were like, yeah, okay, I could do it. And the response was amazing because everybody, men and women, were saying, oh, you look beautiful, you look fabulous, you know, well, good for you. And it was really supportive.
Yeah, because you look fresher, actually, in many cases, especially with the young girls. Some of it makes them look very, very old. And when they strip right back on their face, I mean... obviously, you know, they've got young skin, they've got their full brows, they're just beautiful anyway, so they don't really need that. But obviously, like all women, we want to look better, and that's their way of feeling better, or all our ways of feeling better is to enhance what you've got. So basically that's what they're doing, but they have more skills now due to, you know, being able to go on YouTube channels and check it out with all the you know, tutorials on there. So
I've tried so many different things with my eyes, because so often when I look at a photograph, if you've got a group, and I'll look at myself compared to other friends in the photo, and I'll look like, and I'll feel like my eyes look tiny, like I have no makeup on, and they're just like tiny little eyes, and they need to be. So then I've tried to like open my eyes too much, but then I look a bit scary. So I thought I need some tutorials for what to do with my
eyes.
You need to do the lashes.
Yes,
the lashes.
I did lashes for years, and I wasn't sure that it made a difference.
Oh, they definitely. Oh, okay.
In photos, I didn't notice a difference.
Oh, I'd say your eye. Well, I had the same lashes. Well, yeah. Obviously, not the same ones as yours. That would be wrong. But
I love them. And I felt a difference when I looked at myself in the mirror. A huge difference, and loved it. But when I looked at myself in photos, I was like, gosh, you can't even tell.
Oh, I thought you could. Yeah, I definitely think so. And the other thing about the lashes is that moment when you wake up and you just oh my gosh, they just so fantastic. Don't need to worry about the mascara. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. And also, it's the eyebrow, because it's the eyebrow that really defines
it
defines your face, really, your eyes and everything. So by redefining your eyebrow, even if you haven't got makeup on your eyes, it can make you look amazing. But if you're wearing a lot of makeup on your eyes and you haven't got your eyebrows done, it can look
Look like you have no eyebrows.
It just looks weird.
But also, over time, as that's become more, you know, we have fashions, don't we, with eyebrows? So there's been times when, looking back, people shaved them off and penciled them in. Never did understand why they did that. It was just like one small line.
Yeah, that was
why bother take it off, then draw something back in? Never did understand. And then they started to get a little bit fatter, and then they became these huge. Huge, massive, fluffy, and then some people are really exaggerate and just draw moustaches above their eyes, don't they? I mean, they can't do it. When you're saying that some people are really good, there are some people, let me tell you, who are horrendous and need to go to art school or something.
They just look like, when they have really thick brows and they're really, really dark, and you know, they've got blonde hair but black eyebrows, really dark, it just looks like it's a hairy slug on their face. Yeah. It's really weird. And you know, they try to get them exactly the same, and there's a very famous eyebrow artist that works in Harrods, and she does all the threading, and she says eyebrows are sisters, they're not twins.
Okay.
Because your face is obviously different on each side. It's not completely parallel, so they shouldn't be treated like they're exactly the same. But
because mine not, and a lot of people, I have like less hair in on one side compared to the other, and you're always trying to fill it in, and apparently that's quite normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just like that. Phrase. Is it? Please say it is.
We better take a break before we start talking about nude portraits.
Well, hey,
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk. With me in the studio today is Tracy Leisure, Cookie Baudet and Debbie Bennett. We have Elizabeth on the line, who I think has something to say. How are you, Elizabeth?
Fine. I'm 70 next week. I'm still working. I wear red nail varnish, a little bit of eyeshadow. I'm small, petite, and I wear young clothes, not too young. And everybody looks at me in the village and they cut. And the women spy at me through the window because I have a different outfit on every day. And I said to my gay friend, shall I change my image? He said, don't you dare.
No.
You look fantastic.
Good and for you. Good for you. Yeah, good
you're
for
fabulous.
You.
And I don't go anywhere without a little bit of makeup.
Good girl.
Fair enough. But you're happy and you're pleased.
I'm very happy. Yeah. I like reggae. I've got gay friends.
We love you.
You sound great, you are, Elizabeth. You sound happy birthday. Hope you have a wonderful
next
celebration.
Week, yeah. Oh, I'm going with my gay friend to an Italian restaurant.
Oh, fantastic.
You enjoy, nice. Elizabeth. Thank you for your
fabulous. He said, stuff them all. You don't look your age and they're jealous.
Absolutely. You exactly. Go for it, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, wonderful. So there's a piece here. Is a nude portrait the best way to boost your self-esteem? When I saw the headline, I thought, oh, my goodness, no. But then I looked at some of the examples and I thought, oh, well, actually, the way they've done it, you know, so you can't see the face for a start.
Well,
so
that helps. Yeah,
so if someone came round to the house, you wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't know that it was you. So it would be down to you whether you wanted to share it with
them
or not.
Yeah, but can you imagine them looking at you and then they'd be looking at you, looking at that, looking at you, looking at that.
I mean, they've done it, so it's very kind of colourful, a bit kind of, we're all thinking no.
It depends what age you're at, I guess.
Yeah?
It depends what your body's like, for another thing.
That's the major thing.
So are you saying you would have done it when you...
Oh, well, when I was younger.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would have, but probably.
But not so much now?
Not particularly, what, nude? Completely nude? No.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look, it's hard, obviously we're on the radio here, but so there's one woman who's holding up a picture and it's her from behind. So basically all you can see is her bottom. Mm. You can see the backs of her legs, her back, and her bottom. So it's very tasteful. It's not vulgar at all.
But what if all the paint fills in all the little dimples on your bum?
With this compared to a photo, you can hide. You can say to the artist, oh, can you make that a bit, you know, whatever.
So make me slimmer, exactly, make me younger.
Exactly. And even this one, which is from the front. So you basically, you see her boobs and her chest, her stomach and her thighs and all the bits in between. But it's tastefully done, isn't it, because of the colours that they've used. So there's no flesh colour. It's all blues and pinks and I think it's quite nice.
It's whether I would be able to stand there and...
Yeah, that's true. It would depend who the artist is.
The artist,
I quite like the... What are the other thing is, I quite like the idea when people do, they do body casting.
Yeah.
You know, I quite like that you can have a bust of yourself. When I say a bust...
An actual bust.
You could have your bust.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bust of your bust.
What, so you'd be more likely to do that than...
Yeah,
than
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
It's just a bit more interesting. I quite like the idea of the plaster of Paris being on me, to be honest. That's
quite sensational.
I'm not telling you what part, Hannah. Probably my bottom. Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah, I think I would Peter for
okay
a present.
People coming round to the house and there being this.
Well, I might not
clay.
Keep put it. No, you see, I'm not saying I would put it on display.
Okay.
No, and it would be metal. It wouldn't be. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it would be metal. But I'm not saying I would put it on display. Mm-hmm. But I would think, I would probably have something like that rather than a painting.
Yeah.
Again, I think it comes down to the person's upbringing. I'm from a really reserved, conservative family and religion, Sikhism, and we don't show our bodies publicly.
Right.
You know, you'll hardly ever see me wearing a bikini on the beach. I've never sunbathed topless. I would never go topless. So, for me, I'm just a bit more reserved about things like that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to have a picture of me or my body, a picture of my body on display, because from my upbringing, that's just
wouldn't
not what
right.
we do.
No,
we just don't
enough.
Do that.
Yeah.
Well, would you do it?
I don't know. It doesn't kind of disgust me. I don't think, oh God, I would never do that in a million years. But I also don't think, oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea. It could be something that I might do, but it might not. It
I'd best
kind
call
of
PJ and book that on.
But you wouldn't have it in your lounge, would you?
No, I guess not. No. But we have had a message through, I'm not sure who it's from, saying nudity is natural and beautiful. From Guido. Yeah, exactly. And my mum spent a lot of time in Scandinavia growing up in kind of in the 70s, and she's told me a lot about how nudity was more normal there, not only between children, you know, playing on the beach and whatever, but adults as well. And it was, you know, you go to a sauna and people would be nude, and that was all kind of normal, and it was embraced and nobody was embarrassed, and it was really interesting because in the UK, it's not like that. You know, when you see young girls at the age of 6 wearing bikini tops, I always think, oh, that's really, yeah, you know, why do they need, they've got nothing to cover up.
Yeah,
why are they wearing a bikini top,
but
you know?
It's true what you're saying, but I remember years ago, I used to be in the theatre, and I was working in Rome, and I was only about 16 at the time, and we all got this, you know, amazing opportunity to go to this wonderful spa, and so we went along there, and we were like covering ourselves up, and then there was these Italian women who, although they're normally very beautiful and slim, we were with quite mature women who were proudly walking around with everything out in the open. And we were like, oh, my God. But, you know, I was very young and I just thought, well, I'm not showing myself. Or not. Have I got to take my towel off or take my dressing gown, no, spa gown off, you know?
Yeah.
And yet I was a young girl, so I could have done, but it's just...
It's what you're used to, isn't it?
To.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. And yet we would be on stage, you know, in our little outfits.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting one. There's a piece here talking about fashion in the 80s. The headline is "Don't drag fashion back to the agonising 80s." Talking about things like pencil skirts. I never thought that pencil skirts particularly went out of fashion.
No,
they never did, because
they
were pencil skirts.
Absolutely, and they're quite stylish.
Yeah,
me too.
Very flattering.
Yeah.
I don't agree with the massive shoulder pads.
Oh no. Gosh,
and the puffball skirts.
Oh,
they're things that
tulip skirts. What about those? Were they 80s? That
yeah,
one, that was tulips.
Yeah.
No, I know the puffball ones, but those other ones...
tulips.
Yeah, they were awful, dire. And the rah-rah things.
Oh, I like a rah-rah.
Do you like a rah-rah?
Yeah, a little rah-rah.
Oh,
and
little
the leg
rah-rah.
Warmers.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm going to rah-rah leg warmers.
I have a pair of leg warmers at home.
Yeah, I do as well.
Fluorescent pink as well.
And the leotard song.
Yes, all the little ones.
The bodies.
That,
the body. They used to be called
thong.
Bodies then, didn't they,
yeah,
in the 80s?
Yeah, the all-in-ones.
Yeah,
and they're back. They're all over the place.
They're called unitards now, aren't they?
Oh, are they?
So they reinvent something, just give it a new name.
Wonder bras, they're talking about in the article.
Wonder bra?
Bras, because they came out in the 80s.
Oh.
But that, again, I don't think they really went away.
No.
But they just became more mainstream. That you get, they're just the padded
it's
bra,
just a bra,
which you get everywhere.
In my case, it is just a bra, Han.
In my case, it's something I've never worn. what else have we got here? Oh, suffocating Spanx.
Sorry?
I didn't realise they came out in the 80s. Spanx.
Really? Did they?
I didn't know that. No. I thought that was much more of a modern thing.
I thought that was more 90s. And I know there was shapewear in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they were almost like cycling shorts that you would put underneath really tight outfits.
Okay.
But they weren't called Spanx in the 80s.
Oh, I never got... I guess at that time I didn't need them. It's only now that I've found them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, thank goodness for the Spanx.
Yes, exactly.
Numb toes in stilettos. So I want to ask you, Cookie, because I know you love a stiletto. Do you honestly find them comfortable?
It depends on the shoe and it depends on the brand.
Okay.
When I went to India a couple of years ago, I went to the Christian Louboutin shop because I was like, I'm going to get a pair of Louboutins. I tried them on. I walked around the shop. They were so uncomfortable.
Really? I thought you were going to say the opposite.
No, and they were pinching my feet at the front.
Wow.
But it depends on the brand of the shoe. It really does.
So it's not necessarily the most expensive ones at the moment?
No, not at all.
Okay.
So I think the cheaper... Well, I mean, Louboutins are very expensive. You know, it's like £300-£500 for a pair of shoes.
Mm.
Very uncomfortable. Yes, I have some very expensive shoes and I have not expensive shoes. And I find high heels very comfortable. It's just what I'm used to, you know, and I like wearing them. And, you know, I remember going to property shows in London, you know, and I'm in my 4-inch heels all day and the guys are there and they're in there, obviously, brogues. And then after, you know, a couple of hours, the guys are saying to me, oh, Cookie, my feet are really hurting. My feet are really hurting. I'm just like, look at my feet. You cannot say your feet are hurting because you're in flat shoes.
Yeah.
I love a high heel.
I love a high heel.
I love a stiletto.
I've always got my stilettos on. In fact, when I do wear flats, I actually get a bad back.
Same here. Mm.
Do
you? Exactly the same here. Yeah. I get a bad back.
So you're that used to wearing high heels that you're uncomfortable in flats.
Yeah.
I love high shoes as well.
I don't feel dressed if I haven't got them on, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. Although in saying that, when we went through lockdown, I did obviously not go out, so...
Did you wear them at home?
A couple... No. I can't tell you about that.
We better have an ad break.
No, but I did get used to just... Because actually, when I am at home, I either wear nothing...
Mm.
Or
on your feet?
On my feet.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
There's a caller on line 3.
All high heels and nothing on. Nothing else.
Brilliant.
No. Sorry.
Thanks, Grace.
Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk. With me in the studio today is Tracy Leisure, Cookie Baudet and Debbie Bennett. There's an article here still talking about being nude. Emma Thompson, the actress, she said why it's so challenging to go nude at 62. She's doing a film, a comedy drama called Good Luck to You, Leo Grand, and she plays Nancy Stokes, a widowed teacher who hires a male escort in the hope of experiencing for the first time the sexual fulfillment that was missing from her marriage. And she said it was really uncomfortable doing nude scenes, and basically her, the male actor who she was with, and also the film's director, Sophie Hyde, all disrobed to do rehearsals to get her feeling more comfortable about being naked, which I think is amazing that even the director was doing it as well. And it just goes back to this whole kind of taboo about being naked, and she was saying particularly because of her age, which is not that old at all, 62, but she said, you know, we're used to seeing perfect bodies on TV, a lot of them, whether it's because they're younger bodies or because they've had work done, you know, this is how you're supposed to look. And she was just kind of thinking, well, I don't know if I can do this. I just think, good for her.
Absolutely brilliant.
We want to see more normal people on TV, I think, because it's less pressure on everybody to feel like this is how we're supposed to look, because everybody does.
But you understand how someone... I'm 60, and my body is definitely different now to how it used to be 20, even 10 years ago. Yeah, I've got, you know, the skin tone, everything has changed. So I would understand why it would be... more uncomfortable. Even the fact that she's been in the public eye, she's been on the screen, she's used to people looking at her, she is, you know, revealing a lot more. A lot of things she's done, she's covered up, and it's just the face, and we can see her age, Nanny McPhee or whatever. You know, she looks beautiful. But to actually strip back, that is pretty brave.
Yeah.
I think it's brave at any age, but like you say, if you've got a gorgeous body or you've got a body double or something going on, but she's revealing everything, you can understand how difficult it would be. I can get that.
And she's an absolutely brilliant actress, as it is anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so as I said to you off air, what is that going to bring to the performance? I understand that it's a scene and they're portraying a certain scene, but do they really need to get completely naked? You know, I just don't... Again, maybe it's my upbringing and the culture that I come from, that isn't publicised, it's not put in your face. I remember going to a theatre in East London, and in the play, it's a student play, in the play, one of the characters was naked, they got naked. I found it so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. It's like, where do I put my face? I'm not used to seeing naked people on the stage. You know? So maybe it's just my own thing. And, you know, I'm sure other people are fine with it. But for me, it's just a bit odd.
It depends, though. We might say it might not just be a sex scene. It may well be that... I don't know what the movie is, but it could be that the suitor or whoever she's hiring is trying to get her to feel comfortable in her own skin. So he's trying to encourage her to be naked and walking around with stilettos or something. Who knows? Who knows? So it might not just be for a sex scene.
Yeah,
it could be for something else, where her being naked is really important to the film.
And actually, that would be really beautiful, wouldn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
That would have a huge impact.
Absolutely.
I think, as a viewer, to going along with the storyline, the fact that she's been widowed and she's got this escort who's going to, you know, ignite her fire sexually, but also getting her feeling comfortable about her body. I mean, I think that would make
Valentine, do you remember?
Yes,
when he said, when they were out and she's saying about her stretch marks
and
kiss my stretch marks.
That's brilliant. That's real love, isn't it?
Exactly.
That's fabulous. Yeah. Oh, that was great. Great film. Okay, Kim's curves are harmful for women's body image. So we're talking about Kim Kardashian here. The article says Kim Kardashian's hourglass figure could be more harmful for body image than Kate Moss's thin frame, a study has found. For decades, stick-thin models graced the catwalks, but there's been a shift towards curvier body shapes, characterised by a large bum and thighs, small waist and flat stomach, also known as slim thick. I've not heard that before. Slim
thick.
No,
me neither.
Yeah. Some may argue the likes of Miss Kardashian and Beyoncé appear to a wider audience, but a team of researchers found that female students who compared themselves to images of curvier women experienced more weight and appearance dissatisfaction than those who saw themselves as thinner or fitter.
The thing is with Kim Kardashian, her body and her curves are not natural. It's all been enhanced. You know, she's had so much surgery. You look at her pictures from before she became famous, when she used to be Paris Hilton's either makeup artist or stylist. Look at the pictures of her then, and you look at the pictures of her now. She's had so much surgery, so to try and portray that image that it's 100% natural from her part is completely wrong. So no wonder women have insecurities about body image. That body is completely impractical to have. Completely impractical. Tiny waist, massive back bottom that you could actually park your bike into.
Well, she did that that champagne glass, do you remember?
Magazine. And a tiny waist. And what people again have to remember, she has makeup artists, she has personal trainers, she has stylists, she has a chef. Every single part of her life is managed and monitored for her to portray that image that she's presenting. That's not real life.
No.
What do you think people think about that figure, though? And what do we think about her figure?
I think
I don't like it.
It more than women.
I think don't know if they do, though.
No.
I feel the same.
They do, because they tend to kind of laugh at it sometimes, because they know it's not natural. I mean, you can't have a, you know, like you say, a teeny tiny waist and a massive derriere, because it just
doesn't go together, does it?
Or a flat stomach. I mean, if you go back, I don't know, 16th, 17th century, when you see all the paintings where you've got women in the nude that have been painted, they've got big bottoms, but they've also got big tummies.
Absolutely.
And they've got big waists.
Yeah,
and they've got big everything going on.
Yeah.
So that isn't a natural, normal look, what Kim has.
No.
If she likes it, that's fine. But if it gives that impression to youngsters or other women, that's the way you've got to look if you have got a, you know, you're kind of got more down below, on your bottom. I keep putting my foot in it.
Well, I've seen lots of women are kind of going down this route, and you see, you know, you can do squats and various exercises to enhance your bottom size.
Build, not having it. These have had them enhanced
surgically.
Surgical, so you can get your injections and all sorts of things going on there, or have, you know, Brazilian, the implants put in, and it just looks really weird.
I think it does, really odd.
And obviously, being on the coast, we do see that, don't we? Some of the young girls that are coming in or come over on holiday or whatever, and they've got their frame is way too small for the size of their backside, and even their boobs sometimes. So for me, it isn't natural. And I think, you know, just work on exercise if you want to.
I think, you know, I understand why, totally understand why women get boob jobs, for example, you know, for various reasons. If you've, if you haven't had much there, and you've always felt uncomfortable, you maybe haven't felt womanly or whatever, I would understand why you'd want to get breast enhancements. What's all this crackling? I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know who's crackling.
Oh, I think it might be me.
Yeah. And also on the other side, if you were born and you have massive boobs and they can be really uncomfortable as well, and you want to get them reduced, I understand that. Also after pregnancy, that can affect obviously boobs, and if you want to do different things, I get that totally. But all the other things, I don't. Again, faces, totally understand that with aging, wanting to get work done, all of that. But bums and things like that.
Also some of those people who just go bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, they keep changing it, and they like the boob jobs, and they're so ridiculously huge, and they just still want them bigger, as if they want to be the biggest boobed person in the world.
But there's so many of them end up getting reductions.
I know.
Yeah. But then I think that's that person suffering from body dysmorphia because it's not right. It's like that now Jessica Alvarez, who turned from a guy into a woman, is always here in Marbella. Mr. Plastic Fantastic, you know, has had so much surgery but has now transitioned into a woman. Mm. Now, instead of the surgeon keep allowing this person to have surgery and to change them, surely you should be looking at the psychological aspects of this person and why they want that, and
absolutely
to that extreme as well. Why would you want to dysmorph your body to such a point that it doesn't look natural or normal? It's like, you know, they see the girls with a massive implants in the lips.
Who's telling them they look good? Seriously.
Some
of them. And then you look and think, you've had your lips done, and there's no way they can look good. And you're right, they're not seeing it, are they? They're not seeing it. So perhaps the surgeons are telling them, but they're not listening.
Maybe. Well, some of them won't listen, and they'll go somewhere else, and go and have it done to someone who will do it for them.
And will take the money.
And probably give them the wrong thing anyway. With the girls or women who have got tiny frames, they don't need these massive butts. It just looks weird. You know, just get in the gym if you can, and personal trainer, and just work on the areas that you want to improve on.
They sell things like knickers with pads in don't they? So that you can actually get more, so you can actually try it before you buy it, really, so you can see what it's like to have a big bottom.
Just get the knickers, padded knickers.
Get
that's
big knickers.
They sell them in the Chinese shop.
That's always good to know. Why were you looking?
Take a break.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the last part of today's Women Talk. With us in the studio today is Tracy Leisure, Cookie Bode and Debbie Bennett. So we have a piece here on Holly Willoughby. I like Holly Willoughby. Do we all like Holly Willoughby?
Yes.
I didn't agree with this article, though. I thought it was a bit, I'm not really sure here. So she says, it's time we were praised for more than just our frocks, says TV style queen Holly. Now, I follow Holly on Instagram, and most of her posts are her standing there in her frock that she's wearing on TV, telling us where she bought it from and where the shoes came from and everything. So I don't quite understand how she can moan about being judged by what she's wearing when she's constantly showing and telling everyone what she's wearing.
And doesn't...
What is that noise?
I think it might be I won't move.
That doesn't make sense to me. If none of her posts were that, then I'd get her having that opinion. But
doesn't she do clothing range or...
Yeah,
M&S. Oh, is it M&S? So she has a whole range of dresses, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So...
I get that she shouldn't be judged. You know, I think she's a great presenter. I think she's very funny. I think she's personable. I think she's beautiful as well. And she does dress well. But she has a lot of qualities other than the way she dresses. So I get that. But as I said, she's promoting what she's wearing all the time.
Absolutely. I mean, if she did that article and was in a pair of high street jeans with a t-shirt on, fine. But she's not, as you rightly say. All the pictures are wearing a very nice dress, and she always looks fabulous.
She really does. So yeah.
No, she's gone in the bin, has she?
She's gone in the
bin. Bye, Holly.
Room 101?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. This, I thought, would be a fun one to end on. I can't say it now. That's a good start. 10 effort...
You can do it. Come on, Han. We're behind you.
Effortlessly.
Is it taking you a lot of effort to say that word?
I've never had problems with it before. Anyway, this word, simple tricks to stay healthier for longer. So I thought it'd be interesting to see how many of these things we're doing already.
Oh, there we go.
And how many we need to. So prioritise exercising over dieting. See, I feel like I think about exercising more than I actually do it. I feel like I do it more than I do because I'm always thinking about doing it.
That doesn't count.
No, it doesn't, does it?
I think exercising is good. Good for the brain, good for the soul, and just makes you feel a lot better. And, I mean, I don't do it that often, but I do try and have a walk every morning.
Okay.
For about an hour. Me and my husband, we've got a route.
Yeah.
And I'm pounding along there. And I have to say, once I've done it, it really clears the air. And I don't feel like eating afterwards, not for a while. So, diet. But we then generally have a smoothie.
Yeah.
And that's worked quite well. Actually, it's working quite well, and
I'm trans fitness, so I identify with being a fit person. <I'm not. laughs>
That's brilliant. Yes, I'm trans fitness too.
Yes.
I love that.
I like being. I like going.
You do really well. Yeah. You've done amazing these last few years. Yeah. How long have you been doing it now?
Well, I've done the beach fit for about a year and a bit, I think. I missed a bit out last year because of my knee, but obviously we did lots of walking as well because of the big walk.
Yeah.
And I was introduced to it with Shirley, you know Shirley, and absolutely love it, even though we whinge and everything and thinking, oh, my thighs at the moment are killing me because I missed a couple of days and this week was hell. But you know what? You feel so good after when you've achieved
and
it.
And you look good.
Yeah, thank you. No, just
honestly,
really
the difference
enjoy
is amazing.
It. Yeah, really,
and
really.
And how many
enjoy
times
it
a week are you doing that?
So I started with 3 and now I try for 4. Obviously, we had Christmas along the way, so that did interrupt stuff. But I try for 4. And I hope the coaches aren't listening because I don't want them to think that I really do enjoy it because they'll give me a bad time. But I really do love it.
Did you love it from the start?
Yeah.
Or did you have to make yourself get into the routine and then you grew to love it?
I think it's like anything. When I was younger, all of us, we've done the aerobics, we've done these fads and we got really good step aerobics, this whatever. And you do this fad and you breeze in, you become good, and then you change, you move. Life gets in the way. way. But this one, when I went, I was really worried about whether or not I could do it. That was the first thing.
Okay.
Is I'm going to be in a gym. Are people going to be watching me? That was a big and a real issue. Yeah. That were you going to be holding back the class because it's in a class environment? But the coaches are really aware of where you're at and managing you. And you realise that everyone's actually just focusing on what they're doing. They're not actually bothered about what you're up to, only the coaches. Mm. So once you realise it was like a safe environment, it was just, they're so encouraging. It was just fab.
Yeah,
fabulous.
Brilliant.
Love it.
So, Cookie, is it something that you don't want to do, or you feel like you can't find the time, or...?
To be completely honest, at this moment in time, it's just pure laziness. I used to be extremely fit when I was younger. I used to do gymnastics. I was in the athletics team, everything, all the way to my mid-20s and 30s. And when I moved to Spain, I was doing yoga 5-6 times a week, potentially going to yoga twice in one day.
Wow.
Gosh.
And then I was going to Pilates classes, so I was super, super, super fit.
So you're tired now, you just want to rest.
I know I've got to get back into it. And only last night, myself and my husband were discussing that we actually need to get back into a routine. So we're starting this weekend.
Yay! Oh, what are you doing?
We're going to do some stretching. We've got some resistance bands as well. And then we're going to go for a walk. We both love yoga.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, we're going to start the yoga again. And we're just going to do it at home. I know how to do the yoga and I know what moves. And I used to go to the hot yoga in Nueva Andalucía.
Okay.
Where the room's heated to 40 degrees.
Wow. Is that Bikram yoga?
It was hot yoga.
Yeah.
And you're dripping with sweat and it's fantastic and you feel amazing afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure when you've done your exercise, you feel alive.
Oh, yeah,
you
really.
Know? And once you get into that, then you crave that feeling.
Yeah.
But it's just getting back into it.
It's getting into routine.
It's like right now, because the weather's been really bad, we haven't been on our walks for a couple of days.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, no, now if I eat that big thing, it's going to...
Impact.
but you know, I go out in the morning, my earphones go on, I've got my motivational tapes going, on my phone, iPods, and it's amazing. Mm. You know, you come back motivated, ready for work, and off I go.
I got a trampoline for Christmas.
Yeah.
One of the small ones with the bar.
Yeah.
Well, I can't make it. I've been building it. I've been in the process for the last week.
You haven't built it yet?
No. I've been busy.
Right, number one. Build the trampoline.
That's thinking about exercise. I'm thinking about doing trampolining every day.
Hannah, building the trampoline is exercise.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes, I'm doing quite well with it. The instructions are so simple that I don't get them.
Right, yeah.
It's so simple that I don't understand how you get the bar. So the trampoline's in place, but the bar, I haven't quite sussed it yet. So that's my project for this weekend. So then I'll be bouncing away.
Yay.
Yeah, that's my plan. Along with I'll move on from exercise because we've got less than a minute left. We haven't got time.
Get to number 10.
So this weekend we're exercising.
Yes. Yes. Well, my husband and myself are going to start our little routine and I will let you know how we get on.
Something I've got into in the last year or so are green juices. I never thought I would because before then, you know, I'd have a sip of a green juice and be like, oh, it tastes like plants and ugh. But I love them now.
They're delicious.
And whenever I want a juice, I'm 99% of the time I'll go, oh, have a green juice. And it doesn't matter what's in them. I really enjoy them. And it's amazing, just a bit of lemon juice that kind of sort of sweetens it up. Love it. Love a green juice.
Mm. Lovely.
Do you have spirulina in it? Do you have spirulina put in?
I don't know what you're saying. What's she saying?
We're at the end of the show. Let's end on spirulina. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.